99.9.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. Here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Good morning. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour. Happy Saturday. This is a wonderful day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, in the studio. And Larry Williams is joining me on the line from Seattle. We are both with First Thursday Jacksonville. I'm the president, First Thursday Jacksonville. And Larry Williams is the founder and owner of First Thursday Jacksonville in Seattle and Anchor Global Business Consulting. So good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Happy Saturday, everybody. And good morning, Duval. Hey, it's good to be alive and well and on the air this morning. It's the great day, as John said. Every day is a good day that the Lord has made, and we're just so proud and happy to rejoice and be glad in it. John, there's a lot going on in Jacksonville and around the country. Much information, so many negative things going on, but there's a lot of positive things going on as well, and we're going to touch on a few of those and invite the listeners to call in this morning and talk about things, that subject that we're talking about, and chime in, and if they have some thoughts on what's going on in Jacksonville, let's hear from you. 296-2251, area code 904-296-2251. So, yes. Jarmin, what's happening specifically? That we just give us a little rundown on what's going on, and we'll come back and talk about some of the major topics. Dr. Danvers should be joining us here from Columbus, Ohio. The Urban League's national conference is going on, and I understand that they have some pretty big news to announce. They have announced it, but we want to announce it to our audience here today as well. So what's going on, Jarmin?
All right. Well, you know, school will be starting soon, next week for Duval. I believe it's August the 13th. And I think this is tax-free weekend as well. This weekend, well, I know that we're getting ready for the fall with the football season. And Shad Khan unveils a plan for the shipyards. That's a massive plan to renovate that area, have a convention center and hotels by the water, by the stadium. So that's some big news that they're talking about.
Wow, that is pretty big news. I've seen some of the renderings of the new Shad Khan Convention Center and Hotel at the shipyards, and it looks pretty massive. I mean, you know, it's taking some vacant land that's in the downtown corridor of Jacksonville and developing it into a tourist attraction, and again, further opportunity for Jaguars owner Shad Khan to put his imprint on the downtown Jacksonville. It appears that the billionaire Shad Khan is taking this opportunity to further implement what he sees as a vibrant downtown Jacksonville, and doing his part and the team's part of giving back to the city of Jacksonville, as well as enhancing its own rich. So, you know, they say the rich get richer, but also it takes a lot of money to invest into projects. And you need good private-public partnerships if you're going to be successful in business. And Shaq Connors has been successful through his career. And then we're just happy that he's bringing some of those dollars and investing those in Jacksonville. Just from the renderings, John, this would be one of the state-of-the-art convention centers in the state of Florida and in the country.
Oh, wow. So this would bring more revenue and maybe tourism to Jacksonville, which could in turn, you know, bring more dollars to the city to make infrastructure improvements. Is this a benefit from this new plan?
John, yes, it definitely will be. First of all, it creates jobs in the construction industry. This is going to require a lot of time and a lot of money to build. And, you know, we just hope that the Shaq Khan's venture and his business decide to include urban businesses in this project, because it will be something that, you know, is going to require a great deal of construction. And even though unemployment is down around the country, you know, we still have high unemployment in urban areas. So we need to make sure that we're working with Shaq Khan's business and also with the city to assure that, you know, the donation of that land through the Shaq Khan's company, you know, reciprocates back into local small businesses as well as, you know, the city itself. But, you know, having a first-class convention center brings a lot of tourism and affords Jacksonville the opportunity to bring larger conventions into the city that is, so, as far as I'm concerned, has been, you know, one of the best-kept secrets on the in Florida. So we'll see how it pans out. But we're looking forward to seeing the development come through, John, and again, hopefully being able to participate in some of the fruits of the economic pie.
Yes, and we do have Dr. Danford that has joined us on the line from Ohio. Good morning, Dr. Danford.
Well, good morning, gentlemen, and good morning, Larry, and good morning, Jacksonville. It's Saturday morning, and I heard all of the great news about Shaq Khan's investment in our city, and we're I'm currently attending, just finishing up the National Urban League Conference here in Columbus, Ohio. We've been meeting and talking, you know, the last 3 days. Our theme this year is Powering the Digital Revolution. Okay. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, with that theme that I'm looking at the TV, the news, and I see where Apple is now $1 trillion a company, you know, after having, you know, been started some years ago. And but it's been a good several days dealing with how we can include more African Americans and others, particularly in the area of entrepreneurship, how we can get them more engaged, get their business strengthened a lot better, so such that we can see some economic growth in some of our challenged neighborhoods. So it's good to be here, and it's actually it's great. And thank you guys for having me on this morning.
Yes. Okay. So some of the outcomes of the convention is to get more African American owned small businesses exposed to digital media.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had one of our major sessions occurred on Wednesday, and we had a conversation with Sheryl Sandberg, and she is the chief operating officer with Facebook. And so The National Urban League has developed a partnership with Facebook, and So you'll see more and you'll hear more about that partnership that will include the Jacksonville Urban League.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful to hear, because we talk a lot about partnerships and collaborations when it comes to businesses. So now the National Urban League has partnered with Facebook in order to move forward in training the small businesses, specifically the African-American owned businesses in the area of digital media. Is that right, Dr. Danford? Okay, maybe.
Yes, I like you.
Okay.
No, I sound like you're having trouble hearing Dr. Danford. I couldn't hear, but I understand that they are initiating a new partnership with Facebook, and we're going to hear a lot more about that. So as time goes on and the program is implemented, gentlemen, but that's good to hear. It's good to hear Dr. Danford. I don't know whether he can hear me or not. But
yes, congratulations, I hear you, Larry,
to the National Urban League, Facebook, and the Jacksonville Urban League on this new partnership. It should go a long ways to assisting the community and the Urban League's stakeholders with some state-of-the-art digital marketing and business opportunities. One of the major things that we're African-American small businesses have challenges is in their marketing. And as you know, John, moving forward, you know, we're always trying to find innovative ways to get the message out to our customers and consumers. And that's one way of doing it, is through partnerships with some of the leading technology companies in the world.
Yes, and you do talk about marketing as one of the challenges for small businesses, websites, even, you know, Facebook pages. A lot of businesses don't even have a website, so any kind of media presence. So I think this training would definitely be beneficial for a lot of small business owners. Well, we're going to take a break, guys. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, so stay tuned for our next segment.
Come on.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, and joining me on the line is Larry Williams, who's out in Seattle this morning. And before we took a break, we were talking about what was going on locally in the downtown area with Shad Khan. And this segment, we're going to talk about what's going on in Duval County Schools. There are some changes that are being made this upcoming school year. We know that there's some new candidates running for school board, so voting is approaching us as residents of Jacksonville, and also the placement of teachers is a bit of a shuffle right now, Larry, due to some of the changes in the state law that limits the number of teachers with low scores at struggling schools. So if a teacher teacher's class has come back with the students with low scores, they cannot continue to teach at a turnaround school. Turnaround schools have to be placed with teachers who have high scores on these state exams, on the state reading and math exams. So teacher placement, I believe even teacher pay or increase is based on the performance of the students. So some teachers are in a bit of a rush because they may be shifted or might have been shifted just this past week to another assignment if they got an assignment. So that's something that's taking place now.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic there, and it's kind of a conundrum, if you will, because as you said, a lot of teachers have been in. I think teachers have already started their preparation for classes, I believe, Jarmin. And, at this point of the year, it seems kind of late to be shuffling teachers. But if it gets the right teachers in the right classrooms and with the right students, then, we are all for that. My conundrum is that what is happening with the, having the, low scoring and performance attached with the pay of the teachers. I mean, I can understand providing bonuses or merits for teachers that do outstanding work, but mm-hmm. to base it on testing, doesn't seem quite fair, especially with the schools that have low-performing students are usually students who perform low. I mean, yes. You could do a lot with that as far as some different techniques and tools that the teachers might utilize. Mm-hmm. But those teachers that score high, probably test well. And also the students that they're teaching, probably are more motivated, self-motivated and parent-motivated than the ones that are in underperforming schools. It's a challenge for in certain areas to get kids to perform at the level that they need to and that the state requires. But in reality, we need to make sure that all our kids are getting the best opportunity and the best education that they can get. And,
absolutely.
When you look at the low-performing students, again, in the schools, it's not necessarily always the teacher, but I guess when you're using a merit system, that's where it all begins. And we hope that these kids, some of these teachers aren't being vilified for things that are beyond their control. So we'll see how it works out as they move forward with this. But, let's make sure that we're educating all our kids and providing them with the best teachers that they can get. My assumption and belief is that if you take the high performing and high scoring teachers and place them with those in those low and underperforming schools, I think you're going to have more underperforming and underscoring teachers as time moves on, because sometimes the students drag the teachers down. We'll see.
Well, I agree that it shouldn't be based on a teacher pay should not be based on the scores, because yes, you can have an excellent teacher that's doing everything to bring those scores up, but as students get older, you know, in middle school and high school ages, you know, that like you said, there may not be as much motivation and to be responsible for the entire class percentage of scores, you know, without a lot of parent support and parent involvement. That's where the key is, getting more parents involved, and parents need to understand the importance of being involved in their child's education and their behaviors socially to make sure they're able to thrive as they matriculate through school. So
absolutely, and making sure that they and that we as parents and community and teachers, you know, reach these kids at a young level. And you know, we always talk about this, is that intervention at a younger age is paramount to getting the best education for these kids, and no matter what demographic or that they live in, and you know what type of situation and environment that they are being raised in, we can, you know, every child deserves an equal opportunity to be successful, and education is the key to being successful in America, and we need to make sure that every child has an opportunity for that good education, and one that benefits them in the future for their careers, whether it is going on to college or going into a trade. But if you're educated and have a good foundation from elementary through K through 12, you have a better opportunity to be successful. So let's hope that these situations merit out and these kids get the best education they can through this system. And I see where the Duval Public Schools are also being challenged with the monitoring and of the charter schools. They're trying to remove the charter schools from under the Duval Public Schools umbrella. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think we're going into with the new administration. Well, it's not new anymore. They're getting into, they're starting to dig in, but the administration appears to be heading towards a dual public school system with, you know, the charter schools and the public schools, you know, competing against one another, not only for students, but more importantly for public dollars.
So would that separate the scores then once the charter schools are up from under the Duval County School Board? I mean, you know, would the charter schools be responsible for their own? Would they be assessed separately?
Yeah, I'm sure they will be. And you know, the charter schools, as you know, as far as the information that we have right now available, is that they're, you know, they have underperforming schools as well in their systems. However, you know, they're highlighted more for their success stories. And I think one of the things that Duval County and most public schools don't do enough of is publicize their positive outcomes that they're having with these children and students throughout the system. You know, in when you're dealing with larger numbers, sure, the percentages are going to be skewed just based on the numbers. But again, you know, let's see what our new superintendent is going to do. And also, as you mentioned, taking a look at the school board election that's coming up, I think there's four individuals that are vying for one of the open school district seats, school board seats. And I believe that's the one that Paula Wright had occupied for years. So it's and it should be interesting, John.
Yes, so we have a lot of new candidates who want to sit on the school board. And so that is coming up again. This is, you know, the fall. The elections will be up. And we, as voters, have to become aware and educated about candidates and make sure that we are contributing in a positive way when we are voting. Utilizing our right to vote, but also being educated about what we're doing and not just voting to be voting.
Absolutely, gentlemen. And, you know, we've had this conversation off the air, and I was on the radio show earlier this week in Seattle talking about this. And, you know, it's not just enough to register to vote. I see a lot of these get out to vote campaigns and rallies going on. And, you know, that's well and fine. But, you know, we need to go to take the next step in you know, teaching and sharing information about how to effectively vote. You know, it's not just enough to vote, because if you're just voting along party lines and so forth, I don't think that cuts the mustard as far as, you know, communities and urban communities are concerned. Because you, as a voter, your job is to vote in people that share your challenges, share your opportunities for success in your neighborhoods and in your community. Because that's where it all began, okay? Mm-hmm. And when that axiom that says, you know, all politics are local is exactly right. And learning the process of what your vote means and how to vote effectively means attending meetings, attending council hearings, attending school board meetings, so you know the process. Once you learn the process, then you can vote intelligently based on Canada's platforms and so forth. But until you navigate that and learn it, and most of all, John, stop taking everyone else's word for what is right to in your voting. Right. Don't take my word, don't take your word. Do some research on your own, and then, you know, go back and refer to other people's opinions. But form an opinion of your own, and then start choosing candidates and issues that are going to assist and help your neighborhood, your community, and your city and state and grow. And that's how we start the process of learning how to effectively utilize your vote.
Right. And like you said, it's not about the political party. It's about the people, you know, so we have to become educated about the person who's running and what they stand for and who they are, and make an educated vote based on that. Well, we want our listeners to continue to tune in as we take another break. Again, this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
We call you Adonai, you are our Lord, hallelujah. 'Cause at the mention of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord. Can you help us say that? 'Cause at the mention
of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord.
Cause at the mention of your name,
every knee must bow, every tongue confess, you are Lord.
Mm-hmm. Sickness has to bow, and at the mention of your name, every knee, every tongue confess. Yes, you are. Oh, 'cause Jesus, you are Lord. It's just that easy. Jesus, you are Lord. Yes, you are. Yeah. Your sound is so sweet.
Jesus,
you are Lord. Yes, you are.
At the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. So at the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord.
That's right. Amen. Something happens when we call on the name of Jesus. There is no another name above the name of Jesus. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarman Leitner, in the studio, and joining me on the line in Seattle is Larry Williams. And we are talking about what's going on locally in Jacksonville, as well as the state of Florida. We were talking about some of the changes in the Duval County school system this year, and all of the elections that are upcoming, Larry. And we know that the election for governor, the race for governor, is upon us as well. And I know that there's been a couple of recommendations for candidates, I guess, quote unquote, a couple of top picks for governor of Florida. And this article mentions Adam Putnam as the Republican primary and Gwen Graham as the Democratic primary. But there is another candidate who was not even mentioned, Larry. And what is his name?
We're talking about Andrew Gilliam. And Mayor Gilliam is out of Tallahassee and Florida. And he's running as a Democrat. And so, you know, a lot of your major publications are Republican tilted, so we don't hear a lot about what's going on with the Democratic candidates. But I was reading a story out of Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, where the it says the Andrew Gilliam governor campaign released a statement talking about the Florida debate, Democratic debate, in which apparently Gilliam won the debate. So he said Mayor Gilliam has from the time of on this stage dominated tonight's debate with progressive ideas and his inspiring story, while the other candidates were fighting in the mud. He has all the momentum in this race and is uniting every corner of the Florida Democratic Party after securing Senator Bernie Sanders' endorsement recently. So it's an interesting story about this young man who's really come from basically out of Florida and has really taken the state by storm as far as, you know, his particular form of politics. And it's definitely a Democratic political base. that he's running under. And again, it's an opportunity for an African American to become a mayor of Florida, and I think that's a pretty interesting opportunity. And you know, again,
he's a young man too. He's about 37 years old.
Yeah, and he has a really nice looking family. You know, that a wife, a few kids, and so forth. So you know, it'll be interesting to see. But at the same time, you know, again, we're judging candidates based on what they can bring to the table, what their platforms are to assist urban areas and people that have challenges and are in historically challenged communities, because those are the folks that need the help. But we also must maintain the big picture and understand, and having a governor that understands the economic base of Jacksonville, I mean of Florida, and particularly Jacksonville, because as we said, everything is local. But, you know, to create an economic viability in urban Jacksonville is something that we'd like to see, and throughout the state of Florida, because, you know, we're concerned with our plight as far as what the platforms are, how they're going to address economic opportunities for these urban areas, and not just make it an opportunity or a governorship that only looks out for the wealthy.
Yes, and this particular candidate does want to expand, you know, Floridians' access to affordable health care. He wants everyone to have a good-paying job, so he wants economic development as well as strengthening our schools. So, you know, it sounds like he is for the low-income or middle-income families in order to make, I guess, the state of Florida work for all of us. That's his slogan.
Yeah, and I think that on the Republican side, you mentioned Putnam, and there's another individual.
DeSantis, U.S. Representative Ron DeSantis is running as well.
Yeah, and those, if that Republican deal will shake out, the President Trump is endorsing one of those folks, and I think that whomever that is, you know, for lack of a better term, we need to run like heck from that candidate, because, you know, from what we've observed on the national scene of what the Trump administration, how they're implementing policy and changing in America's safety net for everyone, and it's totally you know, out of concert with anything that we've known, and it's not saving taxpayers' dollars; it's diverting taxpayer dollars to the wealthy again. And you look at that program, the DACA program that the court has basically, you know, his deal to turn that over has basically been overturned by the court. And they're telling him to go back to his administration, to go back to the table, because that needs to be reopened. But also, and more importantly, the news here recently that the Trump administration tried to divert the program where they had the kids and the parents separated in the immigration process. He tried to refer that to, you know, nonprofits and the lawyers who represented the people, the immigrants. And that's definitely if the government started, the government needs to end it. And they need to put these families back together as ordered by the courts and stop trying to, you know, defer
the responsibility.
Their responsibilities mm-hmm. onto others.
Right. So the Trump administration tried to defer that to the union who supported the families, instead of taking the responsibility.
Well, the American Civil Liberties Union, which is a group of attorneys who represent individuals who are, you know, whose rights are being, you know, taken advantage of or destroyed under certain processes or systems. And, you know, that was one of the things that the immigration zero tolerance policy that the Trump administration tried to administer, well, they did for a month or so, and it all backfired on them because they didn't follow the rules. And you know, legally, they were out of line, and mm-hmm. even though they knew that, because Sessions said it, the Attorney General Sessions said it before it even was implemented, that it was challenging, but they were going to do it anyways, whether, you know, anyone liked it or not. And again, there's another opportunity for this administration to feed into their conservative support base. And, you know, this isn't about just conservatism and your base. It's about America and making it fair for everyone to live and work and play in this country, and not just for the privileged few. And I'm reading in the headlines right now at the USA Today where a federal judge rules the DACA program should restart. So, you know, all the 2 years that they've implemented their guidelines and rules is all for naught, because they did it illegally. And the same thing they did with the immigrant program. You know, we need to start taking a look at what's going on around us. Again, I know it's national news, but eventually it affects the cities, because the cities are the ones who have to bear the grunt for all of this stuff, these negated programs and the illegal programs that this administration is trying to implement.
Now, what is the penalty since they did not meet the deadline? Did it say what the Trump administration, will they be fined for not?
Well, no, because that would just be fining yourself, okay? Finding the taxpayer. What they're trying to do is put enough heat on this administration through the legal system to make them do the right thing as far as how this is concerned. Now, it may get down to fines, but again, when you're fining,
well, that's not good if we're going to have to pay
yourself.
That. Right. I mean, that if a fine is placed upon them, and then the residents have to pay for it, or the people of the United States have to pay for it. That's not
America. The taxpayers.
That's not a penalty for the Trump administration then. So I just didn't know if they had put something out there as a consequence of not meeting that deadline, because many of those children are still separated.
Yeah, I think one of the major things that you can do as a independent voter, and I'm not talking about categorically, but as a voter, what the things that you can do is exercise your right to vote these folks out who are supporting these administration policies and guidelines, and understand, again, that's where understanding how to utilize your vote comes into play. This is an opportunity, read the information, go on the national headlines and the national media outlets and find out what's going on, not only in your city, but, around the country, because everything political isn't local, and everything local isn't political, but they all are. I know that's redundant, but it's, politics start local.
Yes, and remember, we're encouraging all of the residents to become educated and aware of the candidates who are running, whether it's in your district or in the state of Florida. We need to become educated and aware of who they
right.
are and what they stand for. And we are going.
Every vote counts. So make sure that you register, then you educate, and then you vote.
Yes, and we are going to take another break. Remember, we're coming up in the next segment on our Entrepreneur Corner. So if you are a small business owner and you would like to call in and shout out your business, or if you have any events that are taking place this weekend or this upcoming week, I know it's back to school, we have a lot of events going on, call in at 296-2251. That's 296-2251. Again, this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. Across the hottest desert, I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything.
to see you, to behold you as my king. Find favor in your sight. Lord, please, Lord, please. Hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately
be where you are, Lord. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm your co-host, Jarman Leitner, in the studio. And on the line joining us from Seattle is Larry Williams. And we are talking about things that are going on locally in Duval as well as on a national level. And this is our Entrepreneur Corner. So any of our small business owners and anyone who has any events that are taking place this weekend or upcoming week, you can call in at 296-2251, and we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for calling in. What do you want to share with the listeners this morning?
Yeah, real quick, me and my wife, we own the boutique Accentuate in the Jacksonville Landing.
Yes.
And next Sunday, we are hosting a jazz concert, and it's free to the public. We're giving away over $1,000 in door prizes. We're featuring jazz saxophonist Pierre Kendrick.
Okay, Pierre Kendrick. And that's next Sunday at what time at the Jacksonville?
5 p.m.
Okay, 5 p.m. And that's out at the Jacksonville Inn. And, well, that sounds nice. A live jazz over at the Landing next Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m. All right.
Well, I want to say here, let the listeners stay tuned to the radio station because we're actually advertising the jazz concert on your radio station. It's called Jazz in the Courtyard.
Okay, Jazz in the Courtyard. And is this something that you all just do, you know, once a year? Or is this something that you just did this year?
Well, we're doing it this year, but me and my wife, we have a marketing company, so we put on events throughout Jacksonville every 3 months.
Okay, Jazz in the Courtyard. I like jazz. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. We have another caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. My name is Miss Walker, and I realize we're talking about voting, which I try to remain current on. But I wanted to ask Dr. Danford for a contact number for the transportation program that they sponsored through the Urban League yesterday. I need to I have someone that didn't finish it.
Okay, so Dr. Danford is not out on the line. I'm not sure what the, Larry, if you know what the Urban League...
Mr. Williams, maybe he may know.
What was the question, Tom?
She wants the contact information for the Urban League. There's a program.
Okay, just ask her to leave her contact information, and we'll have someone get back to her.
Okay, so we'll get Steve to get that number from you, and then...
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
And thank you for calling, caller. We apologize for not having that information readily available, but we'll get it to you. And Urban League has many positive programs going on, and as we mentioned earlier, that they will be one of the few affiliates of the National Urban League who will be partnering with Facebook on this new digital marketing and small business enhancement opportunity. So keep up the good work over at the Urban League, and if any of their staff is listening and have the answers to the question of the, I think it was a transportation question, John?
Yes.
About a program? Okay, well, you can call 904-723-4007 on Monday.
723-4007. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
And good luck with getting the word out there to everybody regarding voting.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
The Entrepreneur Corner, 296-2251, talking about your promoting your small businesses. And it's good to hear the previous caller, John, that is advertising on the station.
Yes.
And who's a frequent caller into the Entrepreneur Corner. So we appreciate their support.
Yes.
And support of the station.
Mm-hmm. And they're having that jazz in the courtyard, and I like jazz, so if I have an opportunity, hopefully I'll be able to attend that. Also wanted to share that Harvest Intervention Services, we are enrolling for the fall VPK Specialized Services. We have wrapped up our summer VPK program, which was definitely a success, and we were able to work with children with various needs on their IEPs. That's an individualized education plan. So if you have a four-year-old that has a current IEP and you're looking to get some supportive services throughout the school year, you can call 904-595-6516 or visit harvestinterventions.com for more information, and we can get you signed up and enrolled. All right, we do have another caller. All right, good morning, caller.
Good morning.
All right, what would you like to share with us?
My name is Ray Jones, and I'm the owner and director of Laura Precision Dance Company.
Okay.
And I'm servicing a summer camp at the current moment, and we're having a debut summer showcase here at Jacksonville University this Sunday at 4 p.m., and it's open to the public. Tickets are $13 at the door. And I would really love if everybody could come out and support these girls, because I'm working closely with Daniel's Kids, which is a foster program here, mm-hmm. and the Jewish Family Services as well. And we just want as many people in the crowd to support the kids that don't exactly have family.
Yes. Okay. And it's a performing arts. It's a musical. I miss what you said. It's a dance. A musical performance?
It's a dance company, so it's a performance art, is dance theater, music theater. It's just a wonderful program. It's faith-based. There's no cooking or anything like that. Very family-oriented. Just a beautiful program, and I would really love it. Everybody can come out and support them. It's at 4 p.m. Jacksonville University.
On next Sunday?
This Sunday. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Again, this is the Entrepreneur Corner. And if you're a small business owner, you can call in at 296-2251. We do, Larry, have a local business that was in the paper from They were featured on one of the programs on the Food Network. I want to say it was, you know, Bar Rescue or one of those. Have you heard of that show? Do you watch the Food Network?
Well, I've heard of the show. I don't watch it that often. I think I watched it a couple of times. It's a pretty interesting show. And that's one of those shows where the owner invites an expert in to come in and evaluate their restaurant and make recommendations and for changes to enhance their economic viability.
Yes, that's correct. And then there, we have a local business, Fat Balls Sports Bar and Grill.
Wait a minute. Fat Balls.
That's the name of the sports bar and grill. It's on 130.
Fat Balls.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. I'm just asking now. I don't.
And it's located on 103rd. But it's so interesting that the expert came in and made some changes that just didn't fit the demographics, you know, for the business owner. So they had changed the name of the bar to Bayou and New Orleans Bar and Grill, but the owner ended up changing it back. So a lot of times you have to just really work with that expert and make sure they understand your demographics so that it doesn't affect your profit in a negative way.
Yeah. And allows them to keep us balls. I mean, no, fat balls.
Oh, goodness. Okay, we have another call on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. This is Josie Odom from Joe's Discount. I sell women apparel and children's wear, and I am based at the Pecan Park Flea Market. And I was just so thankful to be able to come on this line and share my business with you guys.
Okay, and you said you're at the flea market at the Pecan Park, and so are you out there on the weekends, Friday,
yes,
Saturday, Sunday?
It's Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
From 10 to 5.
Okay, and you sell children's